Qantas may keep its A380s on the ground till next month. Boeing is bringing two 787 test aircraft home. And could the Dreamliner be delayed into 2012? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 19th, 2010. Qantas now says it may not start flying its fleet of Airbus A380 Super Jumbos until December, following the catastrophic failure of a Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engine on one of its aircraft. The airline says it's looking into the possibility of diverting some engines from A380s it has on order to replace older model engines which have developed oil leaks. A leak is considered the most likely cause for the engine fire, which led to its disintegration on the wing of the airplane shortly after departure from Singapore. The Wall Street Journal reports that Qantas is taking a very conservative approach to putting the A380s back into service. Other airlines operating the Super Jumbos have either returned them to service or didn't ground them at all. December is the peak summer travel season in Australia, and there are concerns that the grounding of the A380 fleet will have a negative economic impact. Boeing has made plans to bring home two 787 Dreamliners being tested in Rapid City, South Dakota, and Victorville, California. The plans have been approved by the FAA. There will be no testing conducted during the ferry flights back to Seattle. The aft electronics bays, where the fire started on aircraft number 2, got an inspection in preparation for the flights. Boeing's internal investigation has nailed down a few facts related to the in-flight fire aboard aircraft number 2 near Laredo, Texas, which brought a temporary halt to the test program a few days ago. Among the major bullet points, Boeing says the plane's post-incident configuration would have allowed sustained flight to a suitable landing airport from anywhere within the 787's typical mission profile. The electrical fire is confirmed to have caused minor structural damage. Boeing says it will be repaired using standard techniques in the airplane's structural repair manual. A New York-based analyst with Morgan Stanley is now predicting that Boeing may have to delay first deliveries of the 787 Dreamliner for a seventh time due to delays resulting from the in-flight electrical fire. Bloomberg reports analyst Heidi Wood made the comment yesterday. She reads the company's decision to bring two of the test aircraft back to Seattle as evidence there's not a quick fix. She adds she doesn't expect flights to resume till late December or early 2011 and says first deliveries could now be out into 2012. As of the close of the markets yesterday, Boeing's stock was down 11% since the day before the fire, after having gained 30% for the year up to November 8th. Up next on ANN, the FAA finally gets around to pilot photos on certificates. Auditors are seeing progress in NASA's books. And the RAF chooses Avadyne for traffic surveillance. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved. At facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA announced yesterday it's proposing that all pilot certificates include photos of the certificate holder. This action follows a requirement that all pilot certificates be made of plastic and contain security features such as a hologram and an ultraviolet sensitive layer to prevent tampering, altering, and counterfeiting. If the proposal is finalized, all new airman certificates and flight instructor certificates would have to include a photograph. Commercial pilots would have 4 years to comply, ATPs 3 years, and existing private, recreational, or sport pilot certificate holders would have 5 years to comply. Student pilots, who have been issued paper certificates following the move for everyone else to plastic, would now have to have plastic certificates as well. The cost of the new pilot certificate would be $22, and the certificate and photo would have to be renewed every 8 years. But there would be additional costs for some of us because the only way to make sure the photo you're providing is really yours is to apply in person somewhere. The FAA proposes to let us do that at any of the FISDOs in the U.S. or by paying a knowledge testing center or designated pilot examiner. I'm going to take a wild guess that making an appointment during work hours at a FISDO will be the least popular option, so most of us will pay extra. The comment period for the proposed rule ends February 17th. The rule is on display at the Federal Register. NASA has received what it describes as a much-improved financial statement audit opinion for the 2010 fiscal year. NASA Chief Financial Officer Elizabeth Robinson commented, quote, "We are working hard to provide useful, accurate information about our financial results, and this audit opinion is an important achievement in that effort," unquote. NASA officials say the audit marks the first time since the 2002 fiscal year that independent auditors issued a qualified opinion with no material weaknesses rather than a disclaimer of opinion on NASA's financial statements. The auditors concluded for the first time since the 2000 fiscal year that NASA is now substantially compliant with Federal Financial Management Systems requirements of the Federal Financial Management Improvement Act. DART Helicopter Services says its subsidiary, Apical Industries, has received EASA approval of its cable cutters kit for the Eurocopter EC-145. The FAA had already approved it, and Canadian approval is pending. The kit provides a means of protecting the helicopter during a wire strike by providing the capability to cut a cable or wire before catastrophic damage occurs. The kit is designed to reduce the possibility of cable or wire entering the cockpit and to reduce the chance of flight control damage. Similar devices have proven effective even during multiple wire strikes. The apical cutter design was tested to verify the capability to cut a cable having a 14,000-pound tensile strength. Get more details by clicking the appropriate link under News at www.darthelicopterservices.com. The UK's Royal Air Force will install Avadyne's TAS-600 series active surveillance traffic advisory systems in its fleet of Grobe G-115E training aircraft under terms of a contract announced on Tuesday. The installations will be performed by Babcock International Group over the next 2 years. Grobe co-CEO Andre Hiebler says Avadyne brought the best value of all the options considered. Quote, "Working with Babcock, who manages the RAF training fleet, we developed an STC for the TAS-600 series, which is now being retrofitted across the entire fleet," unquote. Still ahead, Frontiers, which is airports in Houston. A new airship is test inflated in an agricultural arena. And the Dutch have a better idea for airport scanners. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Frontier Airlines, a wholly owned subsidiary of Republic Airways Holdings, officially moved its Houston operations from George Bush Intercontinental Airport to William P. Hobby Airport, effective yesterday. The last flight out of Bush Intercontinental was Flight 1111 at 7.05 p.m. on Wednesday. The first arrival at Hobby was Flight 146 from Denver at 3.04 p.m. yesterday. Passengers who booked flights on Frontier to or from Houston Intercontinental after the change were automatically rebooked on flights to and from Hobby. Hopefully they paid attention and didn't have their rides to or from the airport going to the wrong place. The second successful inflation test of a Bullet Class 580 airship developed by eGreen Technologies 21st Century Airships was completed Tuesday at the Garrett Coliseum in Montgomery, Alabama. The inflation took an hour. The Garrett Coliseum is one of the few facilities large enough to host the operation. The inflation allows pre-flight engineering fit checks for attachments in preparation for the near-term maiden flight of the Bullet Class 580 at NASA's Ames Research Center at Moffett Field, California. The 235-foot-long, 65-foot-diameter Bullitt-class 580 is designed to carry payloads up to 2,000 pounds, maintain altitudes of up to 20,000 feet above sea level, and achieve a dash speed of 74 knots with a cruising speed of 40 knots. And finally, U.S. airports are waiting to see how disruptive holiday boycotts or opt-out protests will be. Meanwhile, from the Netherlands comes what may prove a viable alternative to the very invasive AIT scans in the U.S. At Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport, new scanners use radio waves rather than DNA-damaging ionizing radiation such as X-rays to detect contraband substances on passengers. If banned substances are detected, they trigger a display on a generic stick figure on the screener's display, instead of drawing a revealing image of the actual body. TSA has about 200 of these units called ProVision ATD, but the U.S. version can't generate the generic display. The Miami Herald reports TSA has contracted with L3 to develop software upgrades that could provide that capability. TSA Chief John Pistol told the Senate this week that the units are currently not appropriate because they produce too many false positives. But I guess my question would be, too many compared to what? Compared to the selection of every 10th innocent traveler from the regular line? I'd be happy with anything that beats 10% false positives, wouldn't you? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Senior Aviation Medical Examiner Dr. Brent Blue tells us whether the Allied Pilots Association is warranted in its concerns over pilots and anybody else being exposed to AIT scanners at airports. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.